Praise the Lord. I want to take you through a journey in the Bible. Not everyone will be with me, but I'm praying the largest percentage of you will be with me. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Yeah? I want to take you through a journey. A journey that I've shared on numerous times through my time as a minister, even before I started this ministry. But I want to take us through this journey, and hopefully we'll end where the Lord wants us to end. Praise the Lord. And I would just like to emphasize, the Lord says to you, by the way, that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And it addeth no sorrow. Praise the Lord. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. That's your word for this season. Praise the Lord. Yeah? Yeah? Praise the Lord. You know, we are often very ignorant of spiritual things that are happening around us. Eh? And so we tend to overlook certain things. Let me give you an example. Six guys are setting up shop, selling the same item along the same road. Those are six different shops selling the same item. The one guy stays at the end of the street. He has a shop at the end of the street. But he seems to have customers while the other five don't. And yet the customers have to pass by the other five to reach the last guy. The last guy is not just lucky. He's backed by spirit. Whether divine or demonic, he's backed by spirit. Someone is at home. Let's say you don't have a lot of items in the house. And you see a cockroach. So you see the cockroach, you hurry to go and get a slipper, turn to kill the cockroach, but you can't see it. You look around, there's nowhere this cockroach could have gone. And you think it was just a cockroach. Life is spiritual. Praise the living God. But life is indeed spiritual. No one just gets things. Things don't just happen. And the more aware you become of that, the more you realize, the more conscious you become of that, the more you will get what I call spiritual advantage. You'll get advantage in the spirit. Okay? Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews, I want to show you a love story, but not your kind of Valentine love. Eh? I want to show you a love story. And from it, hopefully, you'll understand the depth of what Christ did for us. Eh? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me take you on a journey for a moment. If you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the Bible says that God speaks and says, let there be, let there be, let there be. We know that that's the connotation of the Father in Scripture. Because throughout the Old Testament, the Son, especially the Son, is hidden. Okay? Why? Because the entire Old Testament is the dispensation of the Father. You with me? So in Genesis chapter 1, we see a Father speaking. But you have to understand that in the beginning, it was the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Because the name Jesus was secret. You with me? Now, from the very beginning, whenever the Father, by the way, in the Bible, if I might say, the Father, God the Father, does not enter the physical realm absent of the Word. He's always in spirit. Anyone who encounters God Father, encounters him in the Bible in vision, dreams, but in the spirit realm. Any manifestation of God in the physical is the Word made flesh in a form. We call it a theophany. A theophany is when the Christ appears in the Old Testament, but he's not pointed out as the Christ. You with me? So, in the Old Testament, the Father speaks in Genesis chapter 1 and creates things. In Genesis chapter 2, we see God physically forming Adam. And I said, in order for God to enter the realm of the physical, the Word has to be manifest. And so it's then safe to say that Jesus was forming Adam. The Word was forming Adam. Because everything that is manifested in a physical form, that has an interaction with the physical world, it has to be God's word in the Old Testament. You with me? Now, he forms Adam. He is the one in scripture who Adam actually refers to as the voice walking in the garden. Not God the Father. Because in order to interact with the physical realm, the word has to come into the physical. So he was the one walking in the garden. Praise the living God. Amen. We see him as an allegory. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, the seed of woman will trample upon the head of the serpent. So he's the seed. We see him as a symbol that in the garden, he was the tree of life. He's a symbol. And so throughout the Old Testament, the word is there. He's involved, but he's secret. Because the relationship that there is between father and son, the love that is between father and son, he never wants to overshadow the father. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the entire Old Testament, he's involved in processes. He appears in theophanies. He appears in allegories, appears in prophecies, appears in patterns, but secretly hiding himself. Because this is the dispensation of the Father. Okay? So, for 4,000, about 4,400 years, men prophesy, men talk, men have encounters with God, but very few know that there is a Word who is the Son of God. So the entire time, he is a shadow in the background of the four person who is the Father. But the love that the Father has for the Son knows that even if this is my dispensation, I must show you that my love exists. Amen. So throughout the entire Old Testament, he litters different aspects showing that there is a Son. Amen. Once in a while, people who have had relationship with God begin to tap into the fact that there's a Son in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Psalms 110, David is caught up in the spirit. Now, a little side note. The book of Psalms is a concoction of four books. It's a put together of four books. Okay? Now, David, every time he's writing a particular psalm in the book of Psalms, every time he writes a psalm, he writes in various capacities. There are times he writes as a psalmist, Psalm 150. There are times he writes as a priest. There are times that he writes as a prophet. There's a time he writes as a king. He gives decrees. All those are different ways in which one man is being caught up but writing different things. So not all psalms are prophecies. Psalms 110 from verse 1 is a prophecy. One day, David is alone and is caught up in the spirit. What he sees, he says, "The Lord said to my Lord," there, what he sees, he doesn't hear it, he doesn't feel it, he sees it. He doesn't just enter the realm of a prophet, he's also a seer. Now let me explain. All seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. Every seer is a prophet, but not all prophets see. Some of them are hearers, some of them are feelers. Some of them just get certain aspects of knowledge put within their spirits. Are you with me? So David is one day caught up, and Psalms 110, something prophetic lands on him, and the entire heavens opens up. When it opens up, he sees the Lord said to my Lord. He has first had an actual revelation of a son. And so he sees it. He says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." He sees it in the spirit. It's an allegory of the son. His son Solomon goes a bit deeper, because Solomon says in Proverbs 30 verse 4, he beats my understanding. I'm not sure people understood what he caught. Proverbs 30 verse 4. He says, "Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If you know." Now, are you with me? So, Solomon is caught up and gets a revelation of a son in which people in the Old Testament could not have got because it was not his dispensation. Amen. The Bible says of Abraham, Genesis chapter 22, The Bible says of Abraham, he's taking his son up. God has told him to go and sacrifice his son. Take me to verse 7. Genesis 22 verse 7. The Bible says that Isaac turns to Abraham and asks. He says, "My father, here I am, my son. Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." And I've taught this before, that when you go on with the story in Genesis 22, a ram appears, not a lamb. What Abraham actually kills later is a ram, not a lamb. That means that statement is incomplete. He said God shall provide for himself a lamb. Later, John the Baptist finishes the statement. He says, "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." People who are separated by generations, both prophets, but speaking a language, and they know when one is supposed to speak and another is supposed to finish. So Jesus shows up and is the Lamb that Abraham talked about. He shows up and John says, "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." That's why later, Jesus, when he's speaking of Abraham, he says in John 8, he says, "Your father Abraham longed to see my day. He saw it and was glad." So it went. Genesis 22. Amen. You're with me? I'm getting somewhere. I'm just repeating a few things now. So David is caught up. Psalms 110. Go back to Psalms 110. We're going through a story. So David is caught up. Solomon captures a revelation that God actually has a son. For 4,000 years, it's a mystery. Then there are 400 years of silence in which there is no prophet, and John shows up. Now, please understand, let's go back a bit. The Bible says that there's a woman who is a virgin who has been prophesied in the Bible that she shall give birth to the Christ. That woman who is prophesied one day is chilling somewhere, and an angel who has rank in the spirit shows up. When that angel shows up, this is what he says. He says, amongst other things, he says, "Out of your womb shall come a son, and you shall name him Jesus." The first time we get that revelation of that name. Amen. Jesus meaning Yeshua, Savior. Amen. From the time Jesus was born, anyone who was close to him called him Jesus. Anyone who did not know him called him Jesus of Nazareth. The revelation of Jesus as Jesus Christ was a secret. Oh Lord. Megan, because Christ is not a name. Christ is an office. The anointed one. That's what Christ means. He's not called Jesus Christ by people who don't have a revelation. They call him either Jesus of Nazareth, but not the Christ. For 30 years, the Son of God, who has been there from beginning to end, the Son of God, who Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Son of God, he walks 30 years on the face of the earth with people calling him Jesus of Nazareth. Until one day, at the age of 30, he's baptized. When he's baptized, the Spirit comes upon him. That's when he becomes now the Christ. The anointed one. You're with me? But even though he has become the anointed one, at that point, even though he has become the Christ at that point, he hasn't fully entered that office. Because to fully enter it, he must die and resurrect. But you see, the thing was so secret to such an extent that only people who could have tapped into God, the Father, could have known that indeed this is the Christ. Because the Bible says that one day Jesus is standing before his disciples, says, "Who do you say that I am?" And the Bible says the Father, somehow Peter's spirit is opened up. He connects to the Father in the heavens. And the Father speaks through Peter. Amen. Then he says two things. "Thou art the Christ." One, the Son of the living God. Those are two different things. He mentions an office and mentions the person. Then Jesus says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who art in heaven." He heard Peter speaking and knew the voice of his dad. Now, I want you to understand this love story. So the moment that this seed, this baby, is put into the womb of Mary, the virgin, the Bible says there is no man who is involved in the process. She just receives a baby in her belly. And the Bible says that holy thing within you. Okay? So it's put inside there. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, can I go with this or am I boring you? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, It says of verse 3, Hebrews 8 verse 3. It says, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. Get me to verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Give me Romans 8, 5. Romans 8, 5. Okay, start with verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He did not send him in sinful flesh. He had a likeness of it. It was a likeness, just like you were created in the likeness of God, but you're not God. Oh, Lord. You're getting what I'm saying? So the Son steps into a flesh that has a likeness. It has no sin on it. Okay? He steps into it. He grows up for years. The Bible says that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both men and God. Stature there is rank in the spirit. That means every time he walked with God, he was growing in rank. You're with me? Praise the living God. And so that same Jesus, now, when he grows up, he enters the world. Even when he's on earth, even during his dispensation, he says, I do nothing unless I see my Father. That's the relationship between Father and Son. Never separate. The only time throughout history that those two were separated was at the cross, when he asked, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was the first time since the beginning of the foundations of the earth that two lovebirds are separated for you and I. But that's not what I want to share. Praise the Lord. I told you we're going through a story here. And so, from the Old Testament, the entire time, Jesus is the focus, but he's in the background. The Bible says that three men appear before Abraham. One of them is God, the other two are angels. That is the Christ before he comes. Are you with me? And so the entire time in the Old Testament, Jesus is there doing his work. Now I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 14. Because in Isaiah chapter 14 is a very interesting story that many of you have heard, many of you have read. And even before we go into that, because Isaiah 9:6, the prophet Isaiah receives a revelation. He says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. A son is not born. Because he was a son from the very beginning. The son has to be given. The child is the one that's born. Are you getting what I'm saying? Have you seen the wisdom of God? So while a child is born, the son has come. That was not his beginning. His birth was not his beginning. Now I want you to understand how important this was. Because a God who has never breathed the breath of life for the first time as a child. A God who was life died. The hands that created were pierced. I want you to understand the extent. Now you see, in Isaiah 14, I want to show you where it all came from. Because in Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible says of Lucifer, verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Verse 13, I'm going to be quoting a lot of scriptures. So, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars. Now, this is important that you get what I'm saying. In Colossians 1:16, the Bible says, Paul is filled with the Spirit and he begins to list things that are in the spirit realm. There are things that are in the natural. He begins to list the things that are in the spirit realm. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones. So he begins by listing things that are in the spirit and starts with thrones. Hear me carefully now. This is where we're going. In the spirit realm, there are thrones. They're not created. They don't come into existence. They've always been. In the spirit realm, there are thrones. The reason why there are thrones is because they're dignitaries in the heavens. They're royal chieftains in the spirit realm. Some demonic, illegally sitting on their thrones. Others, very much, men of stature. There are people on the face of this earth who walked with God so closely, they gained rank in the spirit. There's a difference between rank and stature. Rank in the spirit is you've walked with God and you have a certain level of authority. Stature in the spirit are men who can move God's hand like no other. So the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 14, Ezekiel is talking and God speaks to Ezekiel and says, these cities, even if Daniel, Job and Noah had showed up, I would not have forgiven them. That means they are men of stature. In other words, these guys, when they speak, God pays attention. That is stature in the spirit. That's why the Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. It's not just rank. It is stature. And so in the spirit, they are dignitaries. They are beings who sit there. Some of them are human beings who walked on the face of this earth and gained stature and sit on their thrones. Some of them are human beings who are still on this earth currently. And as they walk with God, they carry a certain level of authority that they sit while they're concurrently here. They're sitting on thrones in the spirit. Are you with me? Yes. Then some are beings that we do not know, angelic beings, because the universe of the Lord is quite big. There are beings in the heavenlies that sit on thrones, beings you know nothing about. There are people who come up with solutions, no, I won't say solutions, with theories. The 24 elders, a certain man, maybe 12 disciples, you know? But they can't be the 12 disciples. They can't be 12 disciples on one side because John is caught up and sees them. Is his chair empty? Okay, we shall talk about another day. There are beings in the spirit of stature, spiritual beings, not human beings, spiritual beings that sit on thrones. There is a council in heaven. There are councils in the heavenlies. There are thrones in the spirit. And so he mentions thrones. Paul mentions thrones in Colossians 1:16, and he's talking about dignitaries that sit in the spirit. There are thrones that are empty. Hear me, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. But when he's ordering the steps of a righteous man, where is he taking you? Where is he taking you? Every step is directing you to your throne. Every single step. Now, listen carefully. It says the steps of a righteous man. It doesn't say the hands, it doesn't say the mouth, it doesn't say the heart. You can find yourself somewhere and your heart is contrary to what God desires. You say things that you're not supposed to say, you do things that you're not supposed to do, but you're exactly where God wants you to be. And you see, the thing about being exactly where God wants you to be is that even if you say the wrong thing, even if you do the wrong thing, you need to understand that he has set certain standards in the spirit. He says, when the enemy comes against you like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a standard against him. The Bible says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. The Bible says in Exodus 14:14, that the Lord shall fight your fights. So the steps are being directed, but you reach there and you make a mistake. There is an insulator. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So there are thrones in the spirit and they're dignitaries. There are some thrones that are empty, some that are occupied illegally. The desire of the Lord is to get you there. Now, hopefully we shall reach there. So here's what happens. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, the enemy says, verse 13, he says, I'll take my throne above the stars of heaven. So he has a throne in the spirit. He's a dignitary of a sort. Amen. But he's trying to occupy another throne. But the throne he's occupying, he's trying to occupy, is not the throne of the Father. Even the devil is not that stupid. I want to tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that you see, when David is taken up in the spirit, like we said in Psalms 110, he says, I saw the Lord say to my Lord, sit here at my right hand. He doesn't say right hand side. He says right hand, the place of authority. From the time, oh God, I don't know what, you guys with me? From the time that the earth was created, from the very foundation, there are mysteries. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8, it says, the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Hold on a second. That means if I go straight back to the foundation and then go before it, before angels were created, before Lucifer was created, there was a concoction of a mystery, a secret where Father and Son agreed, Lamb is slain before the foundation. In Proverbs, in Psalms 33 verse 6, all the angels are created right after that secret place, the committee of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They are created. Lucifer comes but does not know the secret of a lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Why? Because you cannot remember beyond the point you existed. Hey! Are you with me? Praise the Lord! So, So it's a secret from the very beginning, and these past patterns are shown by those that are used by God. The lamb will be slain. Moses lifts up a rod in the wilderness. The lamb will be slain. A lamb is taken to slaughter and kill. The lamb will be slain. Every time the image is there, but the enemy can't see because he doesn't know the secret. He wasn't there before the foundations of the earth. You're with me? Praise the living God. Told you we're going through a journey. Now, here's what happened. The lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. In the spirit, there was a position. The Father, Son, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost existed from the very beginning. But the office of the Christ was empty. Because for it to be occupied, Jesus has to come, die, and resurrect. So there's a throne that is empty. That is what Lucifer was looking for. So he looks at a throne, tries to occupy it, he's brought down. Now I'm going to show it to you through scripture. He's brought down, tried to occupy the place of the Christ, the highest place in the heavens, kept for one person who was Son forever in heaven. But his time was coming where when he dies and resurrects, he occupies the right hand, an office, and then becomes the Christ. Are you with me? Okay? So Lucifer is brought down because he's thinking of a throne that is beyond him, trying to pursue a destiny that's not his. Many times, many of us do that. We pursue thrones that are not ours. And so somewhere in there, and I'm going to show it to you, somewhere in there, the Lord puts on you a certain action to show you. I don't want to go ahead of myself. We shall get there. And so here's what happens. When Jesus Christ comes on the earth, he walks on the face of this earth. He comes across Peter, who gives that revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus then comes before Pilate, and Pilate asks him a question. Art thou the Christ? The entire time he's quiet, because while his destiny is to be Christ, he hasn't yet died and resurrected. Hey! The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 20, that the moment that Peter says thou art the Christ, the Bible says that Jesus says, don't tell anyone that I am the Christ. Because the secret is, while it's true that I am the Christ, I haven't yet stepped into it until I die and resurrect. Hey! And so here's what happens. Jesus dies on a cross. There are three dimensions of Jesus' dying. First is as a lamb led to slaughter. Second is like a bronze snake on a pole, that whoever would look at him on a cross will be healed. Then thirdly, he's like a wheat of seed that falls, and when it dies, it is fruitful. So all those three dimensions he goes in through. He says, unless a grain of wheat fall down and die, it abides alone, but when it dies, it is becomes fruitful. Praise the Lord. And so that's what happens when he dies. There are many more Christs. Lord have mercy. And so here's, can I take you on another, can we continue? And so here's what happens. He dies, goes down. Remember what Solomon said? He said, who is this that has ascended and then descended? My God. And remember what we said about David, that he's caught up in the spirit, says the Lord said to my Lord. What happened when Jesus died and resurrected? Can I take you through a journey? Yes. Jesus dies. We know according to scripture that he's down there for 3 days. He dies, goes down under the ground for 3 days. One day I'll teach on what happens down there. And using only scripture. Only scripture. So he dies, goes down under the ground. He resurrects, appears before the disciples. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1. Father, remind me. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 1 verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What happened? Jesus has just spoken to the disciples. He's leaving. And he says, as he was speaking, he's taken up, and a cloud does what? Receives him out of their sight. That's one action of what happened. So he's ascending. What happens when he reaches? The Bible says in Daniel 7:13. Take me there. I'm showing you patterns. Daniel 7:13. Daniel is caught up. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man shows up, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Verse 14. Then to him was given dominion, glory, and kingdom. Daniel is in the past but sees the future. Hey! And so he's taken up. As Jesus is taken up, Acts stops there, but Daniel already saw that the vision. So he's taken up in the spirit. He sees this, but I can go on to tell you what happens, because that's when David also gets a glimpse of what's happening. That after this, After Daniel sees, then for the first time, the Christ sits in his throne and he's enthroned. Here's what happens. As he's taken up by the cloud, and the Bible says Daniel sees him, a son of man, coming in a cloud. In other words, Daniel is seeing what has just happened on earth, but from the past. My God Almighty. Acts chapter 2 verse 36. Acts 2:36. Peter is speaking to a group of people on the day of Pentecost. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, the person, he has made him whom you crucified, both Lord now and Christ. He wasn't that before. So now in the heavens he's seated up there, seated in his throne. Now, when Peter is speaking in Acts chapter 2:36, he's referring to what has just happened. A wind has blown over people and they begin to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit is released. What happened in the natural was a sign of what was happening in the spirit. There was a coronation taking place. And the sign of that coronation in the physical was the Holy Spirit being released. That's why Peter says, this Jesus has now. He's now both Lord. Now. Praise the living God. And so Jesus now sits on that throne. He sits as Christ. Then the Bible messes it up and says that you are in Christ. It says that you died and resurrected with him. It says that now you are on the right hand of the Father. Now this is important that you understand. You understand now why certain things are happening the way they do. Please understand that his throne has been exalted far above any other throne. There's a difference between the operation of the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of the earth. The kingdoms of the earth have kings and servants. The kingdom of God has king over kings. Are you getting what I'm saying? It has a king, one over kings, you and I. Now, that is how the kingdom of God operates. Now, as Christ is seated on that throne, all of a sudden, all authority, he says, has been given unto me. Ah! All authority. And I've said this before, that when Jesus was in the heavens, now please understand, that as long as Jesus Christ was on earth, Jesus was on earth in the flesh, but he was also in the spirit as a spirit. He says, he talks of himself as the Son who is currently in the bosom of the Father, but he's on earth. Jesus was on earth, but concurrently in the heavens, just like you can be here, but be seated in heavenly places. And so, he's there in the physical. He's on earth in the physical, but in the spirit, he's a spirit. But when he died and resurrected, here's the mess up. He's now a spirit on earth, but a man in heaven. Okay, let me mess you up. To show you that he's a man in heaven, the Bible says that there's only one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ. He is using present tense. There is one mediator. He's not talking about past. There was. He's not talking about Christ on the earth. Currently, there is a man in the Godhead. Hey! Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, for the first time in history, for the first time since the creation of the earth, God will tell men, go and do this, men fall short. Go and do this, men fall short. Go and do this, men fall short. Because in the heavens, God, who is supreme and is perfect, was telling imperfect men to do things. So men would have a right to say, but you are perfect, we are. Because he's the highest authority. Within the Godhead, there had never been submission until a man came. When that man comes, who is the Christ, finally, when Christ dies and resurrects in the Godhead, there is a perfect authority and a perfect submission. Amen. That means you can no longer complain. Hey! Praise the living God. Which brings me now to your place, because now you need to understand what has been happening in the spirit. That now there are thrones that are littered in the spirit realm. There are mantles. The Bible says in Songs 4:4, Songs of Solomon. It has just come in my spirit. Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 4. To some people, this might not be relevant. You want me to talk about your problems. But it's okay. Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 4. It says, your neck is like the Tower of David. He says, built for an armory on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. To you, you read that, you say, what the heck does this mean? But what he's saying by the Spirit, for someone who has the eyes of the Spirit, let me help you what he's saying. What he's saying is that in the spirit realm, there are mantles of mighty men that are hung, and anyone who aligns themselves can grab one. So there are thrones in the spirit. Let me tell you, child of God, there are things that you are graced for. Every time you're graced for something, you grow in its authority. So somewhere out there is someone who is called to be a writer. And at first as they're writing for themselves. Then one day someone comes and looks and says, I like your writing. Then they go and tell other people, this person writes well. They're growing in authority. They might not know it, but their scope is increasing. All of a sudden, there are different degrees of thrones in the spirit. You move from one throne to another. There are promotions. You can shift from this one, then you shift to another based on obedience and faith. But every time you realize the place that you're graced for, you're sitting on a throne. And so suddenly this person who people are saying, you're such a great writer, suddenly they decide to write a book. When they write a book, whether people read it or not, in the spirit they've graduated. Yeah. Hey! I'm giving an example of a writer. I can give an example of many things. A businessman who has so many ideas in his head, but all of a sudden begins to write them down. The moment he writes them down, he has moved from theory to action. In the spirit, his scope is increasing. He's sitting in a place of authority. And at certain places, until a particular place when he can speak, he goes to, someone out there goes to book club. Sits in book club. And because they've just begun, they're sitting with famous authors. People who have been writing for years. Then you sit behind and you listen to them talk. After a year or two, people are asking you, what do you think? You do not know your scope is growing. And so your throne, your authority is speaking. Your opinion matters. That's how God receives his glory. Okay? The moment you see authority increasing in any dimension of what you do, there is a throne taking place. There is a throne being established. The only people who are not, because we don't sit on thrones by default, the only people I can, whether sons of God or not, who are not seated on their thrones, are the ones who chill and relax and complain. And say, look at her. She has started something, it's even fake. There's something in it, they're fake, but in the spirit you have rank. I'm telling you, even in things of ministry, when a man goes out, he can't heal, but he takes a step to heal, and the person doesn't get healed, in the spirit he has increased scope. And you need to understand that you must learn to take risks in the spirit. Because interestingly, faith is synonymous with risk. Faith is synonymous with risk. And then suddenly you begin to realize that people who have walked with God, people who have grown in authority, someone stands up there and speaks over the face of the earth. He declares something in the spirit and you say, even me, I want to get there, but the Lord has made you a dancer. The moment you try to say that you're trying to prophesy things of the past in that level of authority, because you can actually prophesy. But if you're trying to be in that level of authority outside your calling, you're wasting time. You're trying to pursue a throne that's not yours. You're like the enemy trying to get a throne that is not his destiny. And he said, hear me carefully. The moment you become a dancer, you go, you dance a lot, and then one day you say, you know what, I've been dancing for myself too long. And say, someone bring a camera. You bring a camera, you go in your room, you first do it, you post it on Facebook. You post it on YouTube. 2 likes, 3 likes, 4 views, 5 views in the spirit, you're gaining scope. Because everyone who has not posted anything is below you, I guarantee you. You see? Praise the Lord! And so you're there, you know, Rabbi, me, I believe I want to go. I want to go into events management. You say, how many things have you decorated? Nothing. Start. When you start in the spirit, whether you put on Facebook and people declare, they shout, they do what you say, you will stand before God one day and you say, I gave you this talent. What did you do? Scope increases. It increases. Whether men are not the ones who judge you, oh, they might do a lot of judging, but they're not the judge. Are you with me? And so you step out. Listen, until you reach a certain place where you've stepped out so much, your life is no longer your own. When your life is no longer your own, that means there's certain things you can't get away with. You jump on a border, people get stumbled. I have seen Nicole on a border. Right now, many of you are jumping on borders. The world doesn't care. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. You're growing in scope. You're growing in scope. There are things you cannot do. I'll take an example of someone who gave me something. He says, there's a place where you reach. You begin to dress nice, not because you want to look nice, but because you have to witness and minister. And so, listen to what happens. You're dressing nice, looking good, and people come. Someone sits in fellowship and says, man, there's this guy that dresses nice. Let me show you. If I'm not of the spirit, one day I'll say, you know what? I've overdressed nice. Let me come go in a simple way. Then that day they invite the person. And the person sits and says, what is this? I'm stumbled. Your life is not your own. Praise the living God. There are certain things men cannot see you do. You are sold out to Christ. You have increased in rank. All of a sudden, you have to be careful what you post on Facebook. Because what you post will make headline news. You say, oh my God. The people, listen, the people sometimes I see posting things on Facebook, I say, I wish I could reply to this guy. But if I reply, there are many people who are going to see this thing. So what do? I open another account which you don't know. And I begin to blast. Don't start looking for it. I have like three. One for each occasion. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. You reach a place where your life is no longer your own. It has been sold out. You represent a certain portion of Christ that is sitting on a certain degree of a throne. You understand? Are you with me? You're sitting somewhere and all of a sudden you realize. You know that there's a places that where we're going now in the spirit. There are people because the Antichrist system is being built. Oh Lord, should I go into this? Because the Antichrist system is being built in places like Europe, it has been established. There are people who are Christians. And because they have a certain degree of stature in the spirit, when they apply to go to certain places, they refuse them. Yes. Not because there's anything wrong with what you're doing. Not because they know you're going to stay in their country. But because they know that when certain men step in a country, the spirit world. Let me tell you something. We know, according to scripture in the book of Daniel, that spirits sit on thrones over territories. And the Bible says that a prince of Persia attacked. And angel Michael and his angels came against that prince of Persia. Michael in the spirit is the prince of Israel, over Israel. But now let me shake you up a little bit. That currently in Israel, that throne is occupied by something else, not Michael. Because I've been there. When you go there, what is seated on a throne controls the psyche of men. Those people, they don't identify themselves as Jews. Jews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jew are not just a religion. It's a people. You can be Jewish without believing in God. And so many of them are secular. I've been there. And so you find, you ask someone, you're there in awe. You've come from spiritual Uganda. You're like, oh my God. He says, yeah, David was my ancestor. So what? And he says, and you're thinking, well, I'm his ancestor in the spirit. Eh? Huh? And so there's something else over Israel, but not Michael. But there's a time coming. We shall touch that on another day. And so there are thrones that are over territories. Listen, there's a place where a man gathers stature. There are very few men like this on the face of this earth who gather such stature and rank in the spirit that when God is dealing with them, he's dealing with the entire territory. So God deals with them as if he's dealing with Uganda, not as if he's dealing with the individual. So he speaks to them like he's speaking to the entire nation. That is stature in the spirit. Amen. Such men, when they speak on behalf of the territory. Amen. Hey! Amen. Now, territories are not just geographical. You can have your territory in books. You can have your territory in fashion. You can have your territory in business. But it begins to expand. And as it expands you. People come. First of all, the signs are people you didn't think were relevant begin to come to ask you for opinions. You haven't started any business yet, but everyone sees you and says, man, first come and give us some advice here. When they put you on TV, you sit and you sit somewhere and you sit and you look like you've been a billionaire for years. Jalum, say amen. So you sit in the chair and they're identifying you and they even introduce you as he's a big businessman in the country. And you say, yes, amen, because they're speaking by spirit. Amen. And so he sits there comfortable, preparing himself for the life that is. Lord have mercy. And so you see what happens is that in the... Now, some of you need to get ready for TV, for radio, for newspaper. You get ready. Hey, Lord have mercy. Praise the living God. And so suddenly, over time, while today you're busy wondering, is this a good friend? As time goes on, you begin to choose your friend carefully because you don't know if they want you because of your stature. So then you enter what I call good problems. Good problems. Someone comes to greet you, but you need to be spiritual to be able to discern, is this person after my gift or just after? Are you with me? But some of you have no problem making friends. Those are not your issues. Because apparently you've gotten comfortable where you are. Let me tell you. There are thrones in the spirit. There are thrones in the spirit that hang within the spirit, and each of them has different degrees of rank. As you increase, you're promoted. As you're promoted, you speak with authority. You stand. You might not be able to speak to a disease and say, come out, which, by the way, you can grow into. But when you stand up as a fashion person and you speak, and you say, in my opinion, in the spirit, you have rank. Who told you fashion is going to stop here? Your impression is that we are going to wear white robes. We're going to wear white robes. Who told you? Because Jesus appeared in one. I need you to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. The Bible says, the Lord has given me a scripture, Psalms 113. Thank you, Lord. I believe it's verse 7. He says, he raises the poor out of dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. Verse 8. He says, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. That is the declaration of the Lord for you. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's a time coming where the car that you sit in will either raise the profile of the car or decrease your profile. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord have mercy. And so suddenly, all of a sudden, because you've reached certain places, because you've stepped into certain zones, even the dreams that you have can no longer be no more dreams. Suddenly, you're sleeping in the night. He says, Rabbi, I don't know. I saw myself next to you and Prophet Elvis, and I don't know. It's like we're all kings. And I say, yeah. I said, you know what that means? It says there's a mindset that you have in the spirit that you've entered, even though the physical hasn't shown it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so if you understand the action of fathers in the spirit, let me tell you, there are people in the spirit who are labeled fathers to a generation. Not papa, papa, papa. No, leave that. That one happens even in high school. People call each other papa. I'm talking about a certain dimension of people who have walked with God, have rank in the spirit. They are fathers in the spirit. Such people, when they've done what their walk with God is a pioneer of something God is doing. Amen. To such an extent that if you deny the man, you've denied that revelation. You will look for it anywhere else and not find it. Because God says, now you, I'll pioneer something in you and put a revelation there. It says, any man who needs this revelation, go to him. Amen. You will pray day and night. You look for impartations. You want nothing. And I've taught this before. That's why I told you, if you look through scripture, no one can claim to be of the lineage of Christ absent away from Abraham. Amen. You can't start your own. No matter how deep you are with God, someone pioneered it. Praise the living God. Amen. May you be a pioneer in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to understand, you have to stop limiting yourself. Think outside the box. There's no way on the face of this earth that all the fashion designs are finished. Not when there's a God who's limitless.
there is no way on the face of this earth that all the business ideas have finished.
You guys, there are rankings that are occurring in the spirit as we speak. I'm seeing things. Let's leave that. Praise the living God.
Amen.
Huh? Praise the Lord. And so you need to understand that there is no man on his way upwards who does not encounter limitations. You people who send me Facebook messages, I'm tired. It's okay. I understand the state that you're in, but you should never allow yourself to wear a garment of mourning. A garment, never allow yourself to do that. You wear a garment every time what's in your mind captures the spirit. And so here's the thing. Listen to me carefully. Jesus captures a stature in the spirit. Now the Lord then decrees that no man can do anything on the face of the earth. The office of the Christ is different from the person of Jesus. Though they are the truth, they're both the same person. The office of the Christ is what Jesus sat in, and he administrates the purposes of God over everything that is of God. Every single purpose of God is administered by the office of the Christ. Every time you pray, your prayers must first pass through the office of the Christ to reach the Father. It doesn't just go directly to the Father. It says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Every time in Scripture you see Christ coming before Jesus, the emphasis is on the office. In other times he's referred to as Jesus Christ. Okay. The emphasis is on the person. Are you with me? So every time you pray, your prayers go up and they are transitioned or translated into a language of immortals. Huh? Because you know not how you ought to pray. So listen, this is what happens. You pray words, but words are not what come before the Father. The Bible says our prayers are like incense. That means as you speak, they are transformed as they pass through the Son. The office of the Christ and appear as incense before the Father. Because in the Spirit, prayers are incense, not words. Now, if they are incense, that means that the prayers that God listens to don't come from the mind, don't come from the lips, they come from the heart. Incense is created from within the heart. If that is true, that means I can pray without saying anything. Stature in the Spirit. Stature in the Spirit. The Bible says of a man called Abraham, that Lot, who's also referring to himself as a guy who knows God, is in Sodom. Sodom somewhere. The city is about to be destroyed. Lot doesn't know. Just like the Christians here. Even me, I'm a man of God. But you cannot tell us what's about to happen. Because the Bible says I can do nothing without revealing it to my servants, the prophets. Now, for you, you're a man of God, but you don't know what's happening in your territory. But somewhere out there is a chap who God says, first come and I show you. And so that's what happened with Lot. Lot is easy. He's a child of God. He's even referred to as a righteous man. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You see, the Bible says that a man called Abel is killed by Cain, which is a sign of Abel being Jesus, Cain being us. Now, Abel is killed. His blood cries out. In the spirit, wherever there's a throne, there's a courtroom. That courtroom, we shall touch it one day, but in that courtroom, there are different courtrooms, but there's the highest courtroom where God sits and Christ is at his right hand. In that courtroom, witnesses are not just humans or spirits. Blood can appear. The Bible says the blood of Abel cries out unto me from the place of the throne. Okay? So blood appears in that throne. It's crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff. Now, here's what happens. The blood of Abel. Abel was an innocent man, but his blood cries. When Jesus dies, Jesus wasn't just innocent. He was righteous. And the Bible says that the moment he dies, there's an earthquake. There was no earthquake when Abel died. Are you with me? So he's righteous. He's righteous. He dies. And when he dies, there's an earthquake. And it says his blood speaks a more perfect testimony than the blood of Abel. Hey! That Jesus, his righteousness now is put unto you. Put on you. You have it. That means every time you come before God, listen, love. God loves us. But love was not enough absent of doing something. So, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. The love had to be backed up by an action. So he gives. He gives his only son. When he gives his son, we now have grace. Grace is the
action by which we get all the things that God desires for us. But we get them by faith. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Now, I want to encourage you. You must take time to see yourself or allow God to press in your heart that unction of the throne. I say, I'm a good singer. You're singing, or someone is singing in a choir, but all of a sudden they're dreaming about fashion. But they have a wonderful voice. There can be promotions in the spirit. Or the other way around, someone can be in fashion and dreaming about singing. There can be promotions in the spirit. You must learn to go with the unction, and it presses on to you, presses on to you, presses on to you. I am tired of men and women of God, especially men and women of God, who sit somewhere, watch someone operating in dynamics they've never seen, and they begin to complain. No, that's not how it's supposed to be. You show us how it's supposed to be. The word of God is not just letters. It's not just print. When you speak, when a man speaks, there are men who preach English or Luganda. There are men who preach spirit. Spirit is a language. Eh? Oh my God. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that a man called Paul, he says, I know of a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, who was taken up to the third heavens, and the things that he had there, no man is lawful to utter. Okay? Now, Paul is taken up to the spirit, hears things that men are not supposed to hear. What does that make him? Eh? If men are not supposed to hear it or utter it, what does that make Paul? Is he still a man? The Bible says that John is taken up in the book of Revelations before thrones, and it says seven thunders speak. And as he's about to write, they say no man is supposed to hear this, but John has heard it. What does that make him? You guys. It is the place in scripture where the Bible says, the old has gone, you are a new creature, not a man, not a what, a mixture of a thing. And the Bible finishes it up by saying, I say unto you that thou art gods and children of the Most High. Are you with me? Ye are gods and children of the Most High. There's an unction that you have, but you're only gods if you sit on your throne. You cannot be a god just by default. In fact, by statement you are, but by operation zero. Have you heard what I'm saying? Have you heard what I'm saying? There are men, and we say, remember when we said that not all men are the same, may it be the same for you in the name of Jesus. People who carry such anointing, such presence, such incense, that the moment you stand in their presence, issue sorted. That's why some of you begin to forget what you are supposed to say. You came with a list. You came with a list, but the list disappears because every time something is answered, jupu, 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 jupu. And my God. Oh Lord, have mercy. May that be your portion. Do you know that there are men on the face of this earth? They might not be prayer warriors, they might not be men of God, but if you're a child, there are people on the face of this earth, because they've walked in their call, it's so powerful. If you went and sat with Dangote and took a picture, do you know how many people would like your Twitter? Do you know? They don't even know who you are. But they come and check, picture with Dangote. Why? Because if that man can sit with you, now that's an unbeliever. Imagine men of stature. A guy sits right next to you and says, this is my guy. And all of a sudden, everything about you, your portfolio begins to increase. Some of you don't even know that your life begins to go on an escalation just because a car has passed. Now, now you guys, I don't know. I'm talking about stature in the spirit. Huh? When they ask, my God, when there's some people, they ask, like, what plane, the moment, imagine tourism, a person jumps on a plane, and tourism in the country has to go up. May that be your portion. Huh? There are men on the face of this earth, men, some of them not born again. When they are in a country, the tourism of the nation increases. Where guys are sending you letters, please come and visit our country. It will help our economy. You're not going to talk about figures. You're not going to write anything. You're just going to show up. If you went and did an audio, now this, I'm trying to get you an image of where the Lord is taking you. Because you see, Africa is the focal point of the end times. And because it's the focal point, Christ is not coming back for a broken, incompetent church. And so you must understand that every single one of you have to take your place. These things of saying that if only I can have a house where I can rent 1M, only? Well, stop thinking so small. The end of it all is to defeat rent and make non-believers pay it. Then increase it and say, pray to your God, see if he can change. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. There are some scriptures I fear to quote because my life has not yet manifested them. And so in my private place, I consistently stir them in my spirit until they can manifest. I cannot begin to argue with a man who's healing people when I can't heal even one person. I'll look back and I say, for now, I don't understand this, but yeah. Let me keep quiet. But you stand there and you say, even me, I can preach that. Do you know that when a person is not doesn't have an unction, if it's not his throne, you can come here, you're a minister, come and repeat what I've been sharing the entire day here, the entire evening, and people just look at you sleeping. You're repeating word for word. Probably you're more motivational. You come and you say, let me tell you, John C. Maxwell said, and you begin to say it, but people are receiving English, but no spirit. Why? Because what backs up authority is a throne. We can always tell a masquerader when there's a lack of authority that backs up something. Are you with me? Before I came here, I told someone, I'm going to ask you to come out to prophesy. And I liked his response because I expected, he said, how many do you want? He said, how many do you want? I said, now, that's the place where you start. Because remember the principle. Remember the law? The law is this. If you're graced for something, say singing, and you want to prophesy, but you're not graced for it, consistency attracts grace. So you keep prophesying, get it wrong, prophesying, get it wrong. One day, bam! You look and you say, man, I'm seeing a name on your head. I'm seeing a name on your head. And the Lord is blessing your persistence. It happens in workplaces, it happens. You've received the word. You've received the word that has put you in a workplace, and all of a sudden people are speaking out against you. People are trying to bring you down. Are they the ones who put you there? Even if you applied, let me tell you something. The word of the Lord goes before you. And so he puts you there. Persistence brings grace. Suddenly the people, they just see you. There's a scripture that messed me up. I'm going to end with this. There's a scripture that messed me up. It says, Philippians, I believe it's Philippians 2:1. Yeah. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, not just Jesus, but the office Christ, if there's any consolation. Now, let me explain what that means. It means that somewhere out there, someone who doesn't have money has gone hungry probably the whole of today. But when we look at you, we see you fat. Are you getting what I'm saying? The consolation of the office of Christ. Lord have mercy. You come into a place, you know you walked to this place, you know you don't have money in your pocket, but every time people see you, do you know that for someone to come to you and ask, help me with some money, they must have perceived that you have it. Yeah. Oh my God! And so the way to track that your rank is growing, just check the amount they ask you for. They used to ask for 10, 20, now it's 100, 150. Yes, Lord! I might not have it in my pocket, but in the spirit it is. That is the consolation of Christ. Oh my God. The office comes and it irrespective of the alternative, even irrespective of what might not be in the physical, you seem to be defeating all laws. How can you be fat when you haven't eaten for 2-3 days? Huh? You have no money to buy makeup. You have no money to change your hair. But every time you come, people come and say, "Ma, is that new hair?" The consolation of the Christ. Praise the living God! What are you talking about? What are you talking about? For you in your mind, you think that you're single. You think you're... But every time, guys are staying away because they think you're hooked. But the perception from the outside is not the same as yours. There is a glory that you have dressed up in. The consolation of Christ. Someone comes up to you, they see you playing something, playing an instrument. Someone comes up, they've seen you do something. You've started your small business, but they think you have branches all over. And you never say, no, I don't have. No. How many branches do you have? About 10. Someone comes to you, you've just made your first suit, only suit. Someone comes to you and says, where is your shop? It's what? Mention a place. Never say you don't have a shop. You don't know what you're creating ahead of you. If you see in the spirit, things run ahead. They run ahead. That throne, the consolation of Christ. That anointing that comes and puts all the purposes of God in place. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.